If you're fellowshipping with Him, you're walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, you're doing the word that you know. And if you are walking with Him, walking in the light, doing the word, you have joy.
Do you want to have a life filled with joy? Find out how on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and guest Keith Moore. The more time you spend with God, the more you will be overflowing with joy and peace. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank You today.
Thank You, Father.
And we praise You and we worship You,
bless
Lord.
You,
well, I'll tell you, I'm so pleased with You, Jesus. I'm thrilled to be part of the kingdom of God. And we praise You and worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Keith Moore, God bless you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, did you get anything out of that broadcast yesterday? Those of you that missed it for some reason, get online and watch that. The whole thing came right up out of the Spirit of God.
Did.
It was almost like He just took over and just did the talking because it wasn't a thing of it that I thought we was going to do. In fact, took me by so much surprise.
Right.
I couldn't even remember Dr. Hicks's name, and I've known that man for. He's gone on to heaven now.
Yeah.
But I knew him for over 30 years, I'm not thinking his name, but my mind wasn't engaged in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just coming up out of my spirit and just blessed, man.
Very important. Life and death. Important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you love things like that?
Yeah, Lord, I do. Yeah.
Now, let's go over to 1 John. We spent last week here in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Keith, why don't you go ahead, as the Lord has led you for today's broadcast.
Okay.
Now, you remember, last week we majored on if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of something right here. When you see the word Christ, then translate and then meditate on it for a moment and see what it's saying to that verse. Because that's not Jesus' last name. It's not His title. It's referring to the anointing. And referring to Him as the Anointed One, anointed with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And the anointing of God is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. It is the curse-removing power, if you want to put it like that, so the blessing can flow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you go. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here is the blood in operation, but it's also the anointing of Jesus that's in operation in this cleansing process. That's a thrilling insight. Oh. Anytime you see that word, I'll tell you what, you begin to look at it and you translate, you begin to meditate on it, the verse that it's in just gets huge. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, walking in the light as He is in the light is the scripture that we dwelt on all last week. Now then, Brother Keith, take us now from there, or if we're going to spend some more time there, I really do like that spot, so whatever the Lord's led you to do here.
The previous three verses to that, Brother Kenneth, I'm impressed with right now. At verse 3, He said, "That which we've seen and heard declare we to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now, later on, He's talking about walking in the light. And walking in the light is fellowshipping with Him. He went on in verse 6, it's what he said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walking in darkness, we're lying and we're not doing the truth. So these three terms...
Yeah, that's in the sixth verse.
Yes, sir.
If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we're not acting on the Word, we're doing something else.
So those three terms are similar. To say that I have fellowship with Him, to say I'm walking in the light, and to say I'm doing the Word. Those three are very similar, because if you're doing one, you're doing the other.
They're interdependent, aren't they?
They are. If you say that I'm having fellowship with Him and I'm walking in the light, but you're not doing the Word, that's not true.
Mm-mm.
So he went on to say about the fellowship with Him in verse 4, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. That's the thing that I'm impressed with today. Walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, walking in the light with Him, walking in the light is accompanied by joy, invariably. If you're fellowshipping with Him, you're walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, you're doing the Word that you know. And if you are walking with Him, walking in the light, doing the Word, you have joy. That joy will be evident. That joy will be present. Now, he went on to say, the very next verse, this is the message we've heard of Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There are two verses that, before I say that, darkness is a whole realm, just like light is a realm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, joy is in the realm of light. Depression and dejection is in the realm of darkness and accompanied with death.
Oh, is it ever.
Mm-hmm. So, if you get light, when light comes, joy comes. And if you walk in the light, the joy continues. And the joy increases because as you, in His light, you see light. And as you walk in the light you have, more light is given to you. And so the joy you have is increased. And that's what he's referring to, you know, in the gospel account of John. He talked about that your joy may be full. Full fellowship is accompanied by full light and full joy. And, of course, the joy of the Lord is your strength because it's life.
Now, without joy, you've got a strength issue.
Yeah.
Because that no joy, no strength.
Right. Because life, light and life are together. And when there's life, it quickens you, gives you joy. And there's the life that's in our flesh flows from our spirit. You know, people say, well, you know, we have advanced technology today. We can tell where these impulses come from the brain to go to the heart and this and that. Okay, but where do they come from mm-hmm. to get to there?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see that under a microscope. You can't lay that out and diagram that. That is, people say, well, it's just life. Yeah, but it's in your spirit. It's life from God that's in your spirit. And so the Bible said, teaches that the condition of your spirit directly affects your flesh. I believe it's in Proverbs, 18:14, I think. It says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or in weakness.
Yeah.
And scriptures talk about in the writings of the prophets that when they heard the evil tidings, that their heart fainted and their knees got weak. You see a direct connection between your heart fainting and your knees getting weak.
I've seen that happen.
Certainly.
I've seen that happen when people get the news. It happened to me.
Yeah.
I got the news late one night that someone very, very close to me had died in a car wreck
mm-hmm.
just moments before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like it just all of a sudden... Something just drained out of me.
Right.
What I wanted to do was just fall on the floor and cry.
Right.
I could have done that, but you know, when your makeup is geared toward God, when I heard that news, immediately, the scripture, I realized later, it was the scripture that said, he's not afraid of evil tidings.
Uh-huh.
It didn't bring fear. And all of a sudden, everything I knew, everything I'd ever heard in God come gushing up on the inside of me, mm-hmm. and my strength came back.
Mm-hmm.
But there for a moment, I just wanted to wilt.
Right. That's because your spirit, you were tempted to faint inside, and if you do, that's the strength of your body, your brain, everything. That's why when your spirit leaves your body,
it's completely dead.
Yeah, there's no life in any part of it. And so then that stands to reason, then if your spirit leaves and your body's dead, then the relative condition of your spirit is going to affect your body.
Your life force is coming out of that spirit man, isn't it?
Absolutely. Proverbs 4 talks about it, where it says, you know, my words are, attend to my words, they're medicine to all your flesh, life to those that find them. The next verse says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
One translation says the forces of life.
Forces of life.
Coming out of your spirit.
That's right.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Now, bring us back over into this again, Keith, because this connection, this is a desperate connection here. This has to take place because we're dealing with darkness and death.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with light and forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
not just forgiveness, but the wiping out of sin.
Yes.
He is faithful and he is just not only to forgive us, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take what you were just talking about and bring it back over in here again, particularly when it comes to the joy of the Lord. I know in myself, there is an area of confusion about joy, and it gets confused with lightness.
Mm-hmm.
That's an element of it. But just because you're not just ha 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 all the time doesn't mean it isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does have to be walked in by faith.
Joy is not a feeling; it's a force. It's of life. It's a force that comes out of life. Yes,
the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah. Right. It's and like you're saying, people associate it. I'd call it feelings, and they think, well, you know, how do I feel? And that question is absolutely one of the worst questions you can ever ask yourself. It is an indication of spiritual immaturity. You'll find, even in the natural, young people, young teens particularly, listen to their conversation. If they're not taught well in the Word, you'll hear them say 100 times a day, I feel this, or I just feel that, or I didn't feel this. And they don't realize how much basis they're putting on how they feel as to what kind of day they're having.
Mm-hmm.
I like what Brother Smith Wigglesworth was reported to have said. Somebody greeted him one morning, asked him how he felt, and he bellowed and said, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell him.
Tell him how to feel.
You tell him. And all of us have flesh. And if you begin to monitor how you feel emotionally, how you feel physically, it will take you down a path of darkness where you lose joy, you lose peace. You want to, all of us need to discipline ourselves to where we don't even ask that question. And if something's coming up to us, you feel this, you feel that, you purposely say, I do not want to see that. I do not want to hear that. That doesn't direct my life. That doesn't dictate my life. The Word of God, the life, the light. I'm a child of light. I walk in the light. I live in the light. And my feelings are subject to the light, subject to the joy and peace.
Oh,
they have
good.
To conform to that.
That's good.
When light comes, joy comes. And it goes back to the parable of the sowing of the Word into the ground. When the light, God's Word is light, the entrance of His Word gives light. When it comes into you, every time, joy comes. But the enemy will be right there. He knows an acorn is easier to crush than an oak tree. Mm-hmm. And before it takes root in you, before it puts root down and begins to blade ear, full corn in the ear, produce out in a harvest, he wants to crush it. He wants to put the light out before it ever starts to germinate and develop in you. And so he comes to lie and to deceive and get you to focus on this and that to the end that you don't believe the light. You decide that's too good to be true. And this doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable. It's not this or that. There's a passage in Mark 10 that describes this. There's more than one. But before I do, I'd like to read these two verses. Not turning there necessarily, but Proverbs 15:30. 15:30 says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat." When that light comes in, it rejoices your heart every time. Ecclesiastes...
Now, that's rejoy.
Yes, sir.
Rejoice is to rejoy. That refires the joy that comes from the light in the first place.
Yes, sir. And it's connected with renewal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, though the outward man is getting older, wearing out in some ways, yet the inward man is renewed. And since the joy of the Lord is our strength, it is connected to rejoy, rejoying and renewing. And that comes from the light. The light of the eyes. When you see the light of truth, it always gives you joy. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says it like this. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun, the natural source of light." When joy comes in, let's go to Mark 10, if you would. Mark 10, and see a perfect example of this. Mark the 10th chapter. There was a young man who came to Jesus one day. And verse 17, Mark 10, 17, it says, "When he, Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Now, the thing the Lord pointed out to me about this young man is excited. He comes, when you're excited, you tend to be demonstrative. Mm-hmm. And he's so excited about this, things he's heard about Jesus, things he's seen, things he's heard about the meetings, and he runs, not walks, runs to him. And when he gets to him, he just falls down on his knees and exclaims, "Good master, what can I do to get this eternal life?" Well, the life is the light. He has enough light to know that Jesus is it.
Now, that says that over there in John, the first chapter.
Yes, sir.
That the light is the life of men.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And he has enough light that he's already excited about this. And his spirit, he has enough enlightenment to know Jesus is what he's been looking for. And the Lord doesn't give us all the light at once. He gives us enough light to take a step. And then he requires faith to take that step. And if you'll do that, more light will come, more light will come. But he's not going to show you the whole path. He's not going to lay it out. He's not going to tell you why and where everything's going. He requires faith. So this young man has enough light. He's excited. He's thrilled. He runs. He falls down on his knees. He exclaims, "Good master, tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do." He has some light. It's given him joy. He wants more light. And you and I are, and people like us and your partners, we're light addicts.
Yeah, we are. Oh, man.
Once you get a taste of the goodness of God and the excitement of His light, you want more.
Yes, you do.
But so often, the light is different than you imagined it would be. Again and again, it's radically different than you thought. And it was in this young man's case. He's thinking, this is it. I've found Him. I've found the light. I've found what I'm looking for. Tell me the rest. Tell me the next step. I'm ready. Let's go. And Jesus said, wonderful. Sell everything you got.
Looked at him and loved him.
Loved him. He said, great. Good. You ready to go. Liquidate.
Yeah.
Come follow me. Come join me. You'll have treasure in heaven. And I want you to have a place with me. And he lost his joy. He stood there and looked at him and listened. Sadness came in. And this is the perfect example of losing the light. When you lose your light, I shouldn't say lose it, you let the enemy steal it from you. Then you lose your joy. That's the should be the indicator to you that you have let the devil steal something from you. The Bible said, when he told him that, verse 22, he was sad at that saying. Well, now, why would he be sad? What Jesus told him is light. It is the enlightenment to take the next step into the rest of the plan of God for this young man's life. And it is a path that goes into glory in eternity. You know, what if this young man had done what he told him to do? What kind of seed would he have had in the ground? And what kind of place would he have had in the beginning days of the church and in the kingdom of God? And now his life would have been over. He'd have been in heaven for all these years with all these rewards. What if he had done it?
Perfect replacement for Judas.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he was a rich man, yeah. and he was a man aware of the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Here's perfect replacement for him.
But he didn't see it that way.
No, he didn't.
And he got sad. And he went away grieved. This grief and this sadness is evidence that you have turned loose of light. And now you're in darkness. And there's death in that darkness. There's death in that grief. There's death in that the sorrow of the world worketh death, the scripture said. And this is a perfect example of what has happened millions of times throughout the body of Christ. A man or woman, young person, be in a meeting somewhere, be in a situation, and they hear something, God will heal you. They hear you can be filled with the Spirit. They hear God will pay you bills. He'll bless you. And then immediately the devourer comes to steal that word, and usually through people. And sometimes, sadly, through church people, through ministers, and say, oh, no, I don't get carried away. That's not always the will of God, and that's passed away, and that doesn't mean natural, and that doesn't mean material. And so a lot of times people, had they had that joy, they got excited, and as they're listening to this, it fades away, and a gloom replaces it, and they resign themselves to not have it. And it is so sad because it was light from the Lord.
Yeah.
All they'd have had to do was take the next step, and He would have brought them into full salvation.
I know that it has to do with whatever you compromise God's word to keep, you will lose it. He compromised what Jesus said in order to keep His money. He wouldn't act on it because he won't keep his money. Or who knows what else he's thinking about, his social position or whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that sometime this week. And we're out of time, Brother Keith, and I'll be back in just a moment.
We are all born equipped with God-given talent and ability. God's grace works for us to guarantee our success. When we apply our skills in the wrong place, it's easy to say we are failures. What we say about our situation impacts its outcome. What we believe about our abilities creates opportunities. When we're out of our place and operating without grace, it's easy to feel like a failure. Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore's teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success, combined with Kenneth Copeland's mini book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be, are powerful resources designed to empower you to obtain success in all areas of your life. The techniques they reveal teach you how to break the cycle of persistent problems you face, discover your unique skill set, and develop a more intimate relationship with God. Discover your grace and get into your place. Order the teaching series, Grace, Your Place for Opportunity, Ability, and Success for just $14, and you'll also receive Kenneth Copeland's latest mini book, How You Call It Is How It Will Be. Please specify your choice of DVD or CD for the teaching series. Receive an additional product discount and faster processing when you purchase your copies online. Go to our website, kcm.org, for these and other ministry products. Walk in God's grace and establish His ways in your life today.
Man, Brother Copeland, I wish I could go through all that again and hear all that again. I know it. It's called kcm.org. So go to it and download it free of charge here, Walking in the Light by Keith Moore. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I don't have a computer. Well, call your grandchildren and get them to come over, and they'll make you a CD or whatever you got to have to get it. Get your hands on it and walk in it and listen to it and feed it into your life. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, you know I'm 85 years old. The joy of the Lord don't have an age limit.
No.
Dear me. I know. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for this radio and television audience. Yes. The joy of the Lord.
Yes.
All over this world. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, you spirit of worry. Yes. Take your hands off of God's property right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Gloria and I are coming to Branson, Keith and Phyllis Moore's Faith Life Church. Praise God.
Yes.
And we're having our victory campaign there, March the 3rd through the 5th. Now, listen to this. Make a note of this. Because Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth has for years been the first week in August, this coming summer, it is over the July 4th week. Make note of that, because you're going to be there. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, don't forget that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.